name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since the time of the Reformation, begun by Martin Luther in the 16th century, Protestants, or our separated brothers, have multiplied indefinitely. Most of these Christian churches have important differences in the interpretation of the Bible. Some have priests and bishops, others only priests, others only have lay pastors. Almost all accept divorce and contraceptives or abortion in certain cases. Some accept same-sex marriage, and that persons in same-sex marriages can be ordained ministers. In certain churches, they accept that women can be priests. And so, there are other differences about infant baptism or communion. Lack of authority leads to lack of unity, and if there is no unity in faith, how can we believe that those churches are the Church of Christ? Let's start by clarifying some ideas about the main points in discussion with separated brothers or Protestants. What is the Bible? It is the written word of God. Men moved by the Holy Spirit have spoken on behalf of God. But there are in the Bible things difficult to understand that the ignorant and weak interpret crookedly to their own perdition. For this reason, St. Peter says that no prophecy of Scripture is of personal interpretation. So, if it is not of personal interpretation, who can interpret it authentically? Only the Pope, with the authority received from Christ to bind and loose, command and forbid. Consequently, the Protestant doctrine of free examination is a source of confusion, since everyone can believe what they believe God tells them when reading the Bible. And if each one can interpret the Holy Scripture on their own, then preaching about the Holy Scripture should be prohibited, since that leads to conditioning and accepting a certain interpretation, given by the pastor or the group leader. Likewise, it should be forbidden to write or speak to others about what we believe the Bible says, because we could be abusing the ignorance or understanding of others, since supposedly the Holy Spirit teaches everyone equally. First is the Church and then the Bible as a whole. Furthermore, what would happen if the letter to the Laodiceans is discovered? Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, which according to some, Paul wrote and is lost. For Catholics, it means nothing, but for our separated brothers or Protestants, would it mean a readjustment of their faith? Christ did not say, "Go and distribute Bibles, and he who reads it will be saved, and he who does not read it will be condemned." In that case, the Christian church would have been a Bible readers' club. But what about those who couldn't read? Would they not have been saved? And those who have never read the Bible cannot be saved? Let's think that until the 4th century, it was not known what the books of the Bible were. And until the invention of the printing press, the Bibles were copied by hand, and the codices were rare, very expensive, and were usually in Latin. Therefore, the people could not read the Bible. And after the invention of the printing press, to this day, there have been and still are millions of people who cannot read. For this reason, the Catholic Church has been and will continue to be the authentic interpreter of the Word of God. That means oral or written. The Church has 2,000 years of experience. God's Word does not change. Therefore, when we want to interpret a biblical passage today, we must see how it was interpreted by so many millions of Catholics who lived before us, especially the great saints of the first centuries. Saint Jerome was a great sage who knew Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and translated the entire Bible into Latin. Did he, reading and interpreting the Bible according to the Church and the tradition of the apostles, not believe in the perpetual virginity of the Virgin Mary, and in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist? The Word of God does not change. The truths of the faith are eternal, and what Christ taught and was written in the Bible cannot be in contradiction with what the apostles themselves taught and transmitted to their successors in the Catholic Church. God never contradicts himself. Therefore, the teachers of the Bible, those who transmit the faith, must do so according to the Church. Let's look at an example. Deacon Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, goes to meet the Ethiopian eunuch and teaches him the authentic interpretation of the Bible. He is an authorized person who had received authority as a deacon by the laying on of hands of the apostles. It is not enough to read the Bible and understand it willingly. The Ethiopian did not understand it, Acts of Apostles chapter 8 from verse 26 to verse 40. The disciples of Emmaus did not understand it, and Jesus told them. Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe all that the prophets have said." Luke chapter 24, verse 25. They needed an authorized person to explain the Bible to them according to the interpretation of the church. Reading the Bible is good, but reading it and interpreting it our way is bad. The authority of the church must be accepted through the person of the Pope, who is not above the Word of God, but at its service, because he interprets the true meaning for us so that we are not mistaken. For this reason, the Pope, when he defines something as a dogma of faith, does not do it arbitrarily on his own account. The latest dogmas about the Immaculate Conception or Assumption of the Virgin Mary into heaven were already believed throughout the Church, and after consulting the bishops of the world, he defined them so that no one could doubt them. The authority of the Pope is a service to faith to give us assurance that what we believe is true and there is no room for doubt. To many of our separated brothers or Protestants, Jesus could say what he said to the Sadducees, "You are wrong because you understand neither the Scripture nor the power of God." Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Only the church founded by Jesus, which since the first century in the Apostles' Creed is called one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Many separated brothers say that to be saved, you just have to have faith in Jesus and accept him as your personal savior. Where in the Bible is that said? Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of faith alone to save oneself. The word alone was added by Martin Luther when translating the Bible into German, knowing full well that the word was not in the original Greek. For this reason, nowhere did the Holy Spirit inspire the sacred authors to speak of faith alone as the only source of salvation. St. Paul tells the Galatians that we are saved by faith which acts through love. And clearly, in the letter of James, we are told that faith without deeds is dead faith. Precisely for this reason, Martin Luther, with his own authority, against the will of God, removed this letter of James from the list of inspired books. In many places, we are told that God will judge each one according to his deeds. The Son of Man will repay each one according to his conduct. Can faith save him? Faith without deeds is dead. In the final judgment, we are not going to be judged on faith, but on deeds. When the rich young man asks Jesus what he has to do to be saved, Jesus does not tell him, "Have faith and you will be saved," but he keeps the commandments. We hope this doctrine clarification may help you to guide others on the way to our church by the grace of God. The doors of the church are open to all, and God continues to work wonders of holiness and great miracles in the sanctuaries, especially Marian ones, as an obvious sign that he is still alive in the church like 2,000 years ago. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.